Hello and welcome to Pod Rights, a series of podcasts from the Australian Human Rights Commission. I'm Nina Mairata, media advisor and member of the communications team. And if you're wondering why the voice is sounding a little different for your Pod Rights broadcast this week, it's because I'm stepping in for Graham Innes, who's in fact in the opposite chair. If you've been listening to Pod Rights over the last 2 years, then you'd be aware that Graham is the Disability Discrimination Commissioner. Yesterday, Graham gave a speech at the Council of Ageing, which not only touched on disability issues, but also addressed the importance of protecting and promoting the human rights of older people in Australia. The speech also touched on recognising the need for creating an inclusive society for those who are ageing. This is particularly important in order for them to continue contributing to our communities. Here with me today is Graham Innes. Welcome to your own Pod Rights show, Graham.
Yeah, thanks, Dana. I feel a bit funny sitting in this chair, but we'll see how it goes.
Graham, you gave a speech at the Council of the Ageing yesterday in your capacity as Disability Discrimination Commissioner, of course. Tell us a bit about the intersection of ageing and disability.
Well, I guess that the COTA, the Council on the Ageing in Western Australia, wanted to address these sorts of issues in their forum celebrating the or recognising the International Day of Older Persons. And as Australians age, there'll be more people with disability. But for most of us, it won't really significantly impact on where we want to live and what we want to do. So I think it's important, as does Susan Ryan, the Age Discrimination Commissioner, that we ensure that negative stereotypes aren't the norm, and that the human rights of all Australians, older Australians and Australians with a disability, are protected and respected. And that's what I was focusing on when I spoke yesterday.
You talk about not ensuring that it is the norm. Quite often when people think of disability, they tend to think about it in isolation to the aging process. But as you explained, the aging process and disability present us with very real issues. In terms of disability issues and access, where does the aging process fit in, and which direction is it taking us as a community?
Well, 18% of people have a disability. That's, to put it, to get a sense of it, that's about the size of the population of Melbourne. And there's a higher correlation between age and disability. So as we age, we're more likely to have a disability. Half the people over the age of 65 in Australia have a disability. And that level of disability increases as people get older. And so as our population ages, as more of us are over that age, and I mean, that's not a magical age, it's just a point that we've picked on a spectrum. But as the population ages, then there will be more people with disability, and so the numbers are increasing. And we need to recognise that this is a major issue, and we need to recognise how we're going to address it. And I suppose one of the things that I talked about was the internet and the importance of the National Broadband Network, because more and more essential services are moving onto that, onto the internet. And as age and disability increase, people will have less ability to, or less mobility, less opportunity in many cases to move out of their homes. So confidently being able to access essential services, such as health services, banking, shopping, to gain government information, to remain connected to their families, to their friends and to the community, and to have the opportunity to do this competently, will become more and more relevant as these things move onto the internet. And so that was one of the things that I was talking about. And I told a couple of pretty interesting stories about challenging some of the stereotypes and assumptions that we make about age and what some people are doing.
And of course, it is for these reasons that there are international obligations under which we operate in relation to both age as well as disability. Can you take us through what they are and what they mean for us, and as well as how they differ from one another?
Sure. Well, Firstly, there's work being done at the moment towards an international treaty or convention on older persons. And Susan Ryan, the Age Discrimination Commissioner, has been involved in that work, and she has come out putting the view of the Australian Human Rights Commission that we do need such an international convention. But these things take a while to develop. So in the meantime, we need to rely on the conventions that already exist. There's the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights, and then treaties on discrimination against women, elimination of discrimination against women, and elimination of racial discrimination. And of course, the particularly relevant one is the most recent convention, which is the Convention on the Rights of People with Disability. All of them make references to age discrimination and the rights of older people. And whilst that on its own is not enough, at least they can be relied on while an age convention is being developed. And what I explained is that because these conventions, particularly the Disability Convention, is recognised by the Human Rights Act as an instrument under our legislation, people can lodge complaints against governments, federal and state, if they believe that those governments aren't complying with that convention, and if, as a result, they're being discriminated against on the grounds of their age or disability.
And what about at a domestic level? What policy and legislation do we operate under?
Well, at a domestic level, of course, there are the two pieces of Australian legislation, the Age Discrimination Act and the Disability Discrimination Act. And both of those cover discrimination on the relevant grounds in all areas of public life. So discrimination in employment, in education, in the provision of goods, services and facilities, in sporting clubs, and other clubs, in land and accommodation, etc. So broadly any area of public life. And if you have been discriminated against on the basis of age or on the basis of disability, you can lodge a complaint with the Australian Human Rights Commission. Those complaints, Nina, are investigated, and an attempt is made to resolve those by conciliation. And about 50% of the complaints lodged under those pieces of legislation are resolved by conciliation. And of those that aren't, only a few go to the federal court. The others are not pursued, or people sort them out themselves or don't proceed with them for whatever other reason. But that's a pretty high hit rate. And that means that if you've got a particular problem that you're facing, then you can lodge such a complaint, and we can, in one out of two cases, sort it out, fix it up. The other important thing to remember about those complaints is often the issues that people are complaining about are systemic issues. So if you make a building accessible for you by getting voice announcements in the lifts or a ramp to an entrance, etc., it not only helps you, but it helps a whole lot of other people who may be older people or who may be people with disability to access that building. So there's a really important flow-on effect.
Now, so far we've touched on the future and the pressures of the ageing population. And as you mentioned before, the world we live in is constantly changing into an increasingly digital online world. What opportunities and challenges does this present to people with disability?
Well, I think if people with disability or older people are able to go online, it presents great opportunities to get involved in a whole range of activities online, shopping, getting government information, banking, being able to keep connected with friends and family through social networks like Facebook, all of the other things that you can do on the internet. And one of the examples that I talked about was the telehealth program, which is a program where health services are delivered to people who might be in more isolated settings for whatever reason, either because their age or disability means that it's harder for them to leave their home, or because they live in rural or remote areas, or a combination of both of those. And particularly with the introduction of the National Broadband Network, which I talked about yesterday and which I said was a hugely important reform for all Australians, not just for things like movie download speeds, but because of the way that it will mean that we can become a far more connected country. But the telehealth program allows the provision of services, medical services and other services, health-related services, to people in those isolated situations. And the NBN will mean that that can be done by video links, and that consultations can be much more detailed, and that people can really get the broader benefits of earlier intervention and more frequent consultations with specialists and other health professionals.
Now, Graham, you're quite up to date with the technology and online world. Is it merely from your experience an issue of keeping up with the times, in the sense that communities have a social responsibility to ensure that older people or people with a disability are equipped with the necessary tools to be updated?
I think it's not only a responsibility for a particular people to keep up with the times. I think that there is a community responsibility to ensure that people are assisted, and older Australians are much lower users of the internet. In other words, less older Australians use the internet than other Australians, and there's a range of reasons for that. I mean, the kids under 10 or 15 are what are referred to as digital natives, so that they just were born when the internet was here, and they just use it naturally. But for those of us who are a bit or a lot older than that, it doesn't come so naturally. So it's important that we have training projects, things such as training through TAFE, training through the Telstra Connect project, which will facilitate, provide funding for the provision of computers to community organisations, and provide trainers to teach people to use those computers. And one of my favourite projects is the one that I think started at Woollahra Council in Sydney, but is being broadened out now to a range of other councils, which is where school students, senior school students, 15 or 16 year olds, go into groups of older people and train older Australians how to use the internet. Now, these school students are really skilled on the internet and can pass those skills on. But this is not just a one-way process, because in return, what the older people do as part of this program is provide those young people with the really valuable life experience and life skills that those older people have gained over the years of their lives. And it's really important that it's not one way, that it's not all give on one side and take on the other, that relationships are being built. And there's some fantastic stories about how young people who are in situations where, you know, they don't have a grandfather or a grandmother living in Australia or still alive are able to benefit from this sort of program and pass on their internet skills to the older people that they meet. So a real win-win situation.
Speaking about younger people, in your speech yesterday, you addressed the stereotypical view of older people. Mm. You spoke a lot about the cliché surrounding the ideas of older people and their abilities. Can you give us some examples and what we can do to undo these stereotypes that lead to discrimination eventually?
Well, I told some stories about people, and perhaps I can talk to you about some of those stories, because they're great examples of just challenging those stereotypes, saying that people aren't old, frail, helpless and unable to learn new skills. And I firstly talked about Alan, who used to be a civil engineer, and he now plays the trombone with two bands and two orchestras. He's competed in the Australian Band Championships, and you know, he sold his soils laboratory to retire, and that retire is in quotes, and he hasn't looked back from there. He still does some work of soil testing, but as well he plays the trombone, he's a volunteer in a rotary shop, he walks 30 to 40 kilometres weekly, he won a silver medal in the 10 kilometre road race in the Australian Masters Games for 2012, and he's completed a novel for preteens called Alex, designed to raise awareness about healthy lifestyles. And he created a website for that novel, using the internet skills that he'd learned. He's 73 years of age. But I think my favourite story if I can have a favourite story. And Nina, these all come from the Age Positive page of our website at www.humanrights.gov.au, is about Barbara, who's 91 years old. And in 2003, she was living with her husband on a sheep wheat property between Hallett and Jamestown in mid-north South Australia. And she'd felt for some time that unless she was connected to the internet, she wouldn't be connected to the world. So she decided to buy a computer. She was confronted by an array of equipment that she needed to learn to work, and she purchased several books for beginners, which, as she says, might as well have been written in a foreign language. But not despairing, she followed this up with lessons for beginners and was introduced to Internet Explorer and email, learned how to use CDs and DVDs, and to publish material. She's now got a digital camera, a computer, a scanner and a printer, and she regularly emails her grandchildren, and she thinks they probably don't realise how much pleasure their notes, their emails to her give her. And each year she produces a family calendar with photographs of the family, recognising people's birthdays, and circulates that around the family. So not only is it a win for her, but there's a benefit to a much broader community. And they're great stories, and as I say, they come from the Age Positive page of the Commission's website, and they really challenge the stereotypes that are out there about older people.
Graham, you've mentioned the Age Positive website a couple of times now. Can you tell us what it's about and how you get your stories on it?
Well, this was a concept created by the Age Discrimination Commissioner, my colleague Susan Ryan, and what she wanted to do is push back against the stereotypes that we've discussed in this program. So we've set up a page at the Australian Human Rights Commission, and you can go to that website I gave you, www.humanrights.gov.au, and you can effectively tell your story or the story of an older person that you may know who's doing positive things, who is challenging those stereotypes, and who is just demonstrating that that age really doesn't have to be a limitation, that age is really just a number. And there's some fascinating stories there. I've talked about a couple of them, but there's some really positive stories there. It's worth, even if you don't want to tell your story, going to the site and having a read of some of the stories that are there.
And finally, Graham, to sum it all up, if you could send one overarching message about these issues, what would it be?
It would basically be not to stereotype people on the basis of age or disability, that age is just a number. It's just a count of years. It doesn't have to mean a more restricted lifestyle and restricted opportunities. And that we as a community should be supporting older Australians and Australians with a disability to ensure that they can play an equal role in the activities of our community. Because if we do that, the benefits won't just be for them. The benefits will be that we'll get a community which utilises all of its skills and takes advantage of the contribution and capacity of all of its members.
Thank you, Graham, for that comprehensive look at issues surrounding age and disability. Food for thought, certainly. And Graham will be back in the seat next week. Thanks to all of you for listening to PodRights. This podcast is for you. So if you've got any suggestions of someone with whom Graham should talk to or wish to leave a comment on the podcast, please email him at podrights@humanrights.gov.au or find him and message him on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Graham Innes. Also, if you want to engage more on human rights issues, have a look at tellmesomethingidontknow.gov.au or Something in Common Project, where you can read fascinating human rights facts and stories, participate in polls, add your own content, and find out what you can do to advance human rights issues in Australia. And keep your podcatchers ready for the next Pod Rights in the series, because human rights are for everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Nina Mairata. Goodbye for now. Thank you.